This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You have heard of Daniel Pearl. You know he is a writer for the Washington, for the Wall Street Journal, and that he has been taken hostage by a group in Pakistan that has a long name that I'm not going to bother repeating. It's some kind of organization against the imperialism or whatever. Some people think that it's Al-Qaeda under an assumed name. He has been taken hostage. There is some conflicting report at this hour as to whether or not the man has been killed. There were two deadlines that were set for certain demands to be met by the United States, or he would be. And at this hour, nobody's really sure. We thought we'd get a news perspective from another reporter. Margaret Gray is joining us from her home in Santa Monica. You're a reporter, Margaret, and you've been a reporter for many years. Can you, for a moment, put yourself in his shoes and tell us what you're thinking as a reporter?
Well, Phil, I can tell you exactly what he's thinking because I was in his shoes.
You were a hostage?
I was very much near the state of a sort of suspended freedom that Daniel finds himself in. Yes, I was.
When was this?
It was in 1995. It was at the height of the O.J. Simpson mania that was going on in this country. I was about to leave a party. I was covering for a film review magazine.
Now, where was this?
This was here in Los Angeles.
Go ahead.
And it was a party to celebrate the release of the film G.I. Jane, which was the Demi Moore and Viggo Mortensen film. And I'll tell you what happens, Phil. You panic, you worry, you wonder what's going to happen to you.
Well, who took you hostage? What was the impetus? What was the political purpose?
All right, well, the party was wrapping up. It was around 12 midnight. I knew that I had to go home and start working on the story. Mindy Donovan, who was with Telstar Pictures, told me that I had to stay and try a bottle of a Chateau Lafite 59, which was a very, very rare champagne that they were going to enjoy with dessert.
All right.
I told her that I had to leave, and she said to me the words that I'll never forget. And when you hear these words, Phil, they literally sear into your soul. You think about your husband, you think about your son. She said to me, "No, I insist." Well, I can tell you that my heart began racing. I felt my mouth go dry. The first thing you think of are your children. You think of your family. And then the next thing you think of is, which is very natural for a woman in that situation, are you going to be raped? I thought of Frank. I thought of Jason J. Delmonico. And then I thought, how are they going to rape me? And are you going to be taken advantage of?
You felt you were being taken hostage. Was she asking you? Was she telling you?
Phil, she stated, "Margaret, I want you to get in that dining room. I don't want to hear another word out of your mouth. And I'll tell you something." And she said, "Tell me what you think of the Chateau Lafite." You see, you never really know. I didn't want to make her angry. She'd had a few drinks.
Now, who is this person?
Mindy Donovan.
Working for Telstar Pictures. Did the police have her in custody?
I don't know. I can tell you that if I'll finish my story and then you tell me.
Go ahead. So you were there at a party in 1995. Was this at her home?
It was at someone else's home.
All right. And she said, "I insist that you stay."
She said, "I insist. Get into that dining room." Well, your mouth goes dry. You begin to think about, what haven't I done with my life? Every small detail. The flowers that you didn't smell on your way to work. The circus you didn't take your son to. The moment of lovemaking that you didn't share with me.
I know that this is emotional for you.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm a reporter. I'm supposed to be objective. So I knew that I had to do something because Nicole Simpson was still very much in our minds. And so I said to Mindy, "You will never hold me here against my will. We all remember what happened to Nicole, Mindy. I dare you to have me raped by those who do your bidding." And I remember slapping her across the face, and then I ran.
You ran out of the house?
I just ran. I ran for what seemed like days. I just ran. And I found myself back at home, and I fell into bed, and I wept. And for all of us on the front lines of journalism, I think this is a chance. Let me just tell Daniel Pearl, because I speak from experience, and Daniel, I know you can't hear me, but if there was some way you could hear me, let me tell you what to do. You tell those Islamic fundamentalists, you tell them that in the name of the Christian God and the United States of America, you will be damned if you filthy, rag-wearing heathens are going to shackle you and rape you repeatedly. And I guarantee you, Phil, they'll back off.
That's what you are advising him to do.
If I'll tell you...
Margaret, if you were in Pakistan right now, and you're in Daniel Pearl's place...
I'm in Daniel Pearl's place. I would spit in their faces and tell them in the name of the Christian God, you may not do this. You see, Phil, they're heathens. And what does a heathen fear? The heathen fears the Christian God. That's why I carry a cross. And I'll tell you something. The old vampire movies taught us something. They were ridiculous, obviously. They were fantasies. But in the face of these Islamic heathens, you hold the cross at arm's length in their face, and you tell them, back off. Back away from me. And they will shield their eyes and slink away toward a window, and that's when you make your escape.
You're telling me that if Daniel Pearl...
If Daniel Pearl has a cross, you hold the cross up in the name of the Christian God and the United States of America, you will not do this. And I can tell you, Phil, those Islamic fundamentalists will melt like ice in a noonday Cabo San Lucas sun. And that's the only advice I could give him.
All right, Margaret Gray is with us. She is a reporter. She claims taken herself hostage at a party in 1995. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So your hostage experience at this party was that you were told you could not leave, and you spit in this woman's face?
No, I slapped her.
You slapped her?
I slapped her, and I said to her, Mindy, we all know what happened to Nicole Simpson. It's not going to happen to me. And if you think you're going to have me raped... It's not going to happen. I slapped her and then I ran. It was really something.
Well, he can't slap his captives and run.
No, but I am saying that when you're dealing with these Islamic people, you hold up the cross and they will slink away like vampires in the noonday sun. Generally, what they'll do is shield their eyes and go, or something. I don't know. And then they'll...
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. You're right, it sounds like a vampire movie. We're talking with Margaret Gray. She was herself a hostage at one time. The way to deal with Islamic fundamentalist kidnappers is to hold up a cross and say, in the name of the Christian God in the United States of America, you will not do this, and generally, that'll back them off. I don't know if Daniel Pearl can hear us right now. I don't know if he has access to a cross.
So it's really interesting. In these films, a lot of them would hold up candelabras. They would use two candelabras and cross them.
But this is not a movie.
No, I know, but I'm saying if you don't have a cross, cross something.
What, like your fingers?
Yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Talking to Margaret Gray. She is a journalist. She's also a someone who claims that she was held hostage.
You say that I claim it, Phil. I'm not sure what that means exactly.
Well, it's hard. All right, I'm not saying that you weren't taken hostage, but you said you were told to stay for dessert.
At a dinner, I was at. Yes.
You were told.
Yes, I was. I have to clarify something with you. You have to understand something, Phil. I've been a journalist for many years. When someone tells you to stay put, they are essentially holding you against your will.
And well, I have been told to stay put at dinner parties.
And technically that is holding you against your will. If you're at a dinner party, if you're at a Thanksgiving celebration, if you're at an Easter dinner party, if you're at a Christmas dinner, and you want to leave, and you hear someone say, I insist you stay, that person is flirting with breaking the law and committing a felony. And I told Mindy Donovan that, I told the investigating officers that, and I'm sure that what those lice-headed Islams did to Danny Pearl, they said to him, you have to stay. And I'm saying to him, tell them that you must go. That you must go, and that you must return to America. And those people over there, believe me, Phil, they only know one thing. They have been raised all of their lives to be of the servant class. They have been waiters, they have been butlers, they have been valets. They have been individuals who, for the most part, have taken orders. And that's something people don't try with them. You tell them, I'm leaving. And you do it in a firm voice.
And Margaret, again, you're dealing with cold-blooded killers.
You're dealing with a low class of intellect and individual who are used to taking orders.
Well, if you're over there, you, Margaret Gray, a woman, and you're taken hostage.
I wouldn't be there right now. I would have gotten myself out of it a long time ago, because I can tell you, you look one of them in the eye and you say, you are going to let me go. You are going to let me go. And you say it in the name of the Christian God. That is very important, because it strikes fear into these people.
All right, let's look at the history of Islam, or the Muslim faith, when you say it strikes fear into these people.
Well, first of all, Phil, Islam is a religion that is not as old as Christianity. Muhammad came about around in the 18th century or something. I don't know when. It was 1700 or something.
And wasn't it like more like the 8th century or the 6th century?
One of them, I don't know. But it's not as old, and there's an inferiority complex going there. They have been inundated with American propaganda. They already feel inferior because their religion is not as old as ours. That's number one. Number two, all of the vampire movies, all of the voodoo movies, all of the films depicting third world people as individuals that worship at the animist altar make them feel inferior as to our religion, so that they will respond to a crucifix or some kind of voodoo. So that when you're taken hostage, you cross two candelabras and you say, back up, back up. They'll back up.
Because they feel inferior.
Sure. What, you're not buying it?
No, I'm not buying it. Back up, back up. Look, that's a religion that's every bit as firm in its foundation as Christianity. There's a lot of people over there, obviously, around the world, hundreds of billions, that believe in it, and to hold up a cross and say, back up.
But that's the whole colonialist thing. See, they'd like to run around wearing a turban and doing prayers and everything. The minute you walk in and say, I'm a Christian, they know they're dealing with some people that know how to kick ass.
Oh, bull crap.
Oh, really? Have you ever lived over there?
No, I have not lived over there. Have you?
I've visited. I was in Tel Aviv one year for a film festival.
Well, that's not over there. A cross, huh?
Yes.
How about a clove of garlic?
Well, now you're being an ass.
Well, you're the one that says that I can cross two candelabras like I'm in a freaking Bela Lugosi movie and back the Islams up. This guy may already be dead for all we know.
Well, if he is, he should have carried a cross of some kind, or some kind of...
Like a clove of garlic, maybe.
Phil, I can tell you, singing Onward Christian Soldiers at the top of your lungs, at those towel heads are...
Thanks a lot. Racist, bigot, stupid media critic. Racist, bigoted, stupid film reviewer. In the name of the Christian God, back up. And you have your little crucifix there. You have your little cross. By the way, a crucifix is something that Catholics have, so forgive me. You have your little cross there, and you back them up. I'll tell you one thing. These guys are supposed to be Al-Qaeda. Whoever it was that took this guy hostage, they changed the name of the organization isn't an organization that anybody's ever heard of before, so they think it's some kind of an Al-Qaeda group. They think it's an Al-Qaeda group that has gone really underground, and now they're left to what? Taking reporters hostage. You know, their big shot, man, was September the 11th and the Pentagon and the coal. And, you know, their glory days are over. Those days of yore are over for those guys. Now they're back to their old tricks, taking reporters hostage. Wasn't that something they tried like 20 years ago? They did that Terry Anderson thing. They had it for like 8 years. What are they going to do with this guy, Daniel, this poor guy, Pearl, who if they kill a guy, yeah, that's great propaganda and advertising for your movement. Beautiful move. Stupid? That doesn't even begin to describe these individuals. Unless, of course, it has something to do with a deep-seated need to get your ass kicked. That's what it is. It's a deep-seated desire, a deep-seated burning desire to have your ass kicked. Look, you guys aren't all that bad, okay? Look in the mirror and buck up and tell yourself that the sun comes out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar it'll come out tomorrow. You're a good guy, a little too much time around the camel. But other than that, things are going to be good, okay? You don't have to just self-flagellate, and you sure don't need to hire us out to do it either. Look, if you want your ass kicked, you didn't have to fly two planes into the building. You could have just asked. You didn't have to blow up the Pentagon, man. You could have just said, would you come over here and give us a good old-fashioned ass-kicking, please? As if you ain't getting your ass kicked enough. Now they take this poor guy hostage. I got no idea whether this guy is dead or alive. I mean, that is the tragedy of that situation. For all I know, he's probably dead. That's how stupid those people are. They probably killed him. That's the ultimate and dumb. They probably killed him. But then you ain't got really much going over there in terms of brains. And why are we fighting this war? Because our toilets flush and theirs don't. Jesus. Look, man, all we wanted to do is get the stink out of our house. You're going to start taking hostages and blowing up our buildings because our toilets flush and yours don't? If you want, we'll send over some of our toilets. We got delousing medicine. We got toilets that flush. We got soap. We got it all. Anything you need. Tell you what, we'll trade it for oil. Ain't that what we're doing? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. That's the place where you can find what Joe Dickhead thinks about the Super Bowl. I ain't going to tell you. You got to go to our website. And that's the only thing for free you'll get on that site, by the way. Everything else you have to pay for. All the audio you got to pay for. It's called a backstage pass. Now, why do we make you pay for the audio from the Phil Henry Show? Well, quite simply, because it's worth it. The audio from our show happens to be worth it. So you go to our website, you log on to our audio archives, you log on to our 30-day archive, you listen live, you get some of our specials like our webcast on-demand feature. You listen, you learn, you love, you'll pay for it. $6.95 for our backstage pass gets you access to all of it. And all you got to do is go to our website, philhenryshow.com. And while you're there, please consider picking up the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001 CD. It's called Bring It. And the money, all of the money, after production costs, which means after the money that we have to pay to actually have the CD pressed is paid, all of the rest of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. None of it goes to me. I don't make a nickel, but that's all going to change soon. No, but we don't. It's not, you know. 1-877-616-7445. That's 1-877-616-7445. We don't make any money on that CD. I know it shocks people. They think, well, there's got to be a pocketing a few bucks, aren't you? No, nothing. Nothing. We've raised over $500,000 from my friend's place over the last 3-4 years, and we haven't taken nickel one. But the more I think about it, the more I think maybe I ought to start. So next year, I got my hand right in the till. This is your last chance to actually send money to the Phil Henry Show that'll go to a good cause before I stick my hand deep into the till. By the way, sales of this year's CD have reached $13,000. We appreciate that, man, but we're looking for a big $200,000 home run this year. Help us out, will you? 1-877-616-7445 for the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001 CD. Bring it.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Boy, that coffee. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. And remember, in the name of the Christian God, back up. Walking around with a crucifix. You know, I looked in some of that vampire stuff, and it don't work. Vampires don't give a crap about it. One of the things, if you read enough of those vampire books, the vampires change from book to book and movie to movie and generation to generation and century to century. Some of them really freaked out at the crucifix, but the new breed of vampire, they don't care. Doesn't matter at all if they've crucifixed. In fact, some of them really like it. Some of them can walk around in the daytime. Did you ever see that Francis Ford Coppola Dracula? He walked around in the daytime. Since when? You talk about seriously screwing with a myth. No wonder the guy doesn't make any movies that anybody wants to watch. No vampire walks around in the day. Hey, I know what I'll do, man. I'll take the whole Dracula thing and I'm going to really blow the lid off it. I'm going to have Dracula able to walk around in the daytime and eat steaks and ride in cabs. Oh, okay. That's great. But see, people will want to go to vampire movies if they see that. Well, dopiest thing I ever saw was a movie called The Son of Dracula. He came out of the swamp, walked up the side of the hill, got into a cab. Did I tell you about this? Jesus. It was with, who the hell was the guy? Lon Chaney or something. He comes out, he floats out of the swamp. Like the coffin's in the bottom of the swamp, it floats up. Then he comes out as a mist. The mist seeps out. Okay. Then he turns into the cat. Then he flies over to the bank. The girl is there. Then they walk up the hill together, and he gently wraps the cape around himself so he can get in shotgun, sits down in a Plymouth, and off they go. Why don't you just float your freaking mist over to wherever the hell she's going? Tell her your mist will meet her there.
I'm going to just sort of float over there as a fog shape.
Okay, I'll see you there.
Great.
Or help her turn. I don't know. Did I see Blade? I didn't see Blade. My kids saw Blade, which I understand now I think is a crime. I think I committed a crime by letting them see Blade. I think it's a rated R thing, and I never should have done it. And I know that it's all about vampire fighting, and I don't give a crap. I like the ones where the guys just, you know, don't walk around in the daytime, man. That's cool with me, all right? All of that screwing around like good vampires, what? They're all blood-sucking scumbags. There ain't a one of them that's any good. There ain't no good vampire. You ever see this TV show called Forever Night? This was about a vampire cop. He's a cop. He's a vampire, and he's lived for hundreds of years. And now I guess he's lived so long that he just doesn't want to be a scumbag anymore. So he's joined the New York City Police Department. And the show traces, you know, different cases that he's on. I don't know what his superiors think about him. I don't know whether the superiors knew that he was a vampire, or maybe one or two of them did. But I guess he just worked the night shift. And he'd show up and he'd go out on murder cases, but he would flash back to a time in his vampire life. Like he'd go back 300 years when they were going to suck the blood out of some, you know, guy, and he felt guilty about it. And then there was a time before he became... See, here's the thing. I went to the same network. My idea was to have a vampire rodeo clown, and they threw me out of the office. I go, well, bull crap. You guys got a vampire cop. Oh, get out of here, will you? What are you talking about? Get that whole Garth Brooks thing, man. You seen those Dr. Pepper commercials. If that doesn't look like a day at the freaking Mongoloid farm, I don't know what does. You look at that Dr. Pepper commercial that Garth Brooks is doing? That looks like feeding day at the nut bin. Every nut they let out for that one. Did you see that thing? Look at, are they going to show it at the Super Bowl? I hope so. It's him sitting on a porch. There's a guy in a cashmere sweater with a broom. I'm telling you. I guess it's supposed to make me want to drink Dr. Pepper. It makes me want to run. It makes me want to just, if I was pulling up in a car in front of that group, I would step on it, man. You would see nothing but dust. Like, you're going to pull up and ask him, hey, can you tell me where the interstate, never mind. You're going to put that on the air, man, and they throw me out of the office because I got the vampire rodeo clown idea. Yeah, thanks a lot. What do you got? Look, I know you did that thing, that Forever Night thing. Yeah, it was pretty successful. Yeah. This is kind of a this is a cross between Forever Night and Last Picture Show. Okay, this is a vampire rodeo clown. Oh, get out of here! What do you mean, get out of here? You can put that on there. You put on a cop, a vampire cop, man. Why not a vampire rodeo clown? All kinds of possibilities. Bug off. How about that vampire Maytag repairman? Get out. TV host, everything.
Mailman.
Vampire mailman. I thought I saw a vampire once, I swear to God. And I ain't kidding you. I was coming to work early one morning, years and years and years ago. I was working at the old K-West down on the corner of Sunset and Cahuenga. And I used to drive to work early in the morning, and I would get to the station probably about 4. And there's a huge newsstand, and I don't know if it's still there, at the corner of Hollywood and Cahuenga. Big newsstand, big books and books and books and magazines and magazines and magazines. And then there's a kind of a an area where you can drop in down rows and rows of books. And I would always stop there, and I'd always get my L.A. Times. I'd get a couple of newspapers. And I pulled in one day, and sure enough, standing at the rack was a guy. His skin was as white as can be. And he had on a black leather jacket with the white hair. And he was talking to the guy behind. He was talking to the guy, and he was reading comic books. Hey, what do you think of Silver Surfer? And he's rapping to the guy about Silver Surfer. I'm thinking, this guy is a vampire. He's a bloodsucker. But he seemed okay because he wasn't attacking the guy that was working there. And he didn't even seem to notice me. All he wanted to do was read Silver Surfer and rap to the guy about it. I think it was Chris's dad. Anyway, I'm kidding, Chris. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know this show Fear Factor? Like people are eating animal parts, whatever. They ought to make the host do that, too. Those hosts are always so smug, aren't they? Like that guy on Survivor. Okay, people. You now must go. You suck. Yeah, well, you're going to go, too. Well, what are you talking about? I'm the host. Get out of here! And as far as eating pig rectum goes, you're first on the list. What do you think of that, Ace? What's the guy's name that does that show? It's Joe Rogan. Huh? Joe Rogan is his name. Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
Before you put anybody else through it, you're eating pig ass. How about you? What do you think of that, huh?
Oh, wait a minute. My contract, my agent.
Yeah, well, your contract and your agent, they're all tied up in a closet right now. And until you eat pig ass, you ain't going to be hosting the show no more. How do you like that? Of course, they would never do that. And why should they? Why ruin a good thing? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ron, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I thought the rodeo clown vampire was a good idea myself.
Thanks.
You know? Hey, you know what?
Uh-huh.
What about a California? No?
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Oh, these girls, they're dressing up in black, and getting themselves white. And studying witchcraft and just going crazy, you know?
Oh, okay. Well, that
yeah,
sounds pretty good.
I didn't know if they were doing that out in California. So
oh, you're
much,
interested but... in whether they're doing it in California or not. All right, well, thanks for your call. What a bore. God. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello. How
yes,
you doing?
Bob, how you doing, man?
Oh, I wanted to talk a little bit about the whole vampire faux pas and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, you know, you always see this in movies, the male vampire, you know, he's slightly kissing the woman's cheek, he's moving slowly down, and little tongue action on the neck, and then boom, he strikes. Why doesn't he knock himself off a beast before he goes ahead and kills her?
Because they don't have genitals.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's something else in the movies. You always see him attacking, like, beautiful little skinny Wendy. I mean, if you're actually really hungry, aren't you going to go after 280-pound Bertha over there in the corner?
Yeah, you're right, man. There's no denying that. She's going to have a lot more blood.
That's what I'm saying.
But the other side of that is that if you want to make a vampire bride. See, that's the whole thing. You're going after the good-looking one because you want to make a vampire bride who will be with you through eternity. That's what they always promise them. Well, you want to go through.
You don't have genitals. You want to go through. What's the matter?
Well, that's. Yeah, you know, that's true, man. But there must be some aesthetic.
Oh, the whole envy thing, you know, hey.
Well,
hey,
yeah. You're going to go through eternity with a slender-looking vampire bride. Can you imagine, like, a vampire bride that looked like. I don't want to go to the cliche Roseanne, Rosie O'Donnell or something like that.
Sorry.
All right, man. So how many people did you kill today?
Oh, I didn't kill anyone today.
All right, good. 1-800-449-8686. Won't you knock yourself off a piece? Vampires don't have genitals, according to the legend. All right, so where were we? Oh, yeah, Phil Henry Show here, and, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com, and you can get yourself knock yourself off a piece there with a backstage pass. Now, when are we going to get our scrapbook up, man? When are we going to get the scrapbook with all of those interesting pictures of me? I am told that perhaps the beginning of next week you'll see me with hair on our website. All of those really cool old photographs will be up on our website in our scrapbook feature. And we're going to also have our diary feature. It's going to be a well-rounded website, I'm sure. That's that stuttering from spraying all that Raid today. I don't know what it's about, man, but it's definitely something that I'm going to have looked into. You know, I've got this phobia about smelling bug spray anyway, and my kids have got this whole thing about how much they love bus exhaust. So what do you want from me? I got a really weird crew, man. These kids, they're like, ah, what? Bus exhaust. What? What are you talking about? It smells good. Here I am huffing Raid, and they're into bus exhaust. Who do you think's sicker? And what is it with kids and smelling stuff? You got all these kids that huffing Raid, huffing Glade, huffing paint, Bactine, smelling their own doo-doo, sniffing their own fingers. Do you got to get high that bad? Sundays at my house, we got friends coming over on Sunday. I see one of those kids come out of the bathroom sniffing a finger. All bets are off. All bets are off. How bad is your life and how bad is your childhood that the first thing you see, you got to suck and sniff? Man, you got to sniff Glade, Raid, Bactine, Easy Off Oven Cleaner. Diapers. Remember that bit we did with Jeff Dowder? He got popped for sniffing diapers. He had, apparently what happened with Jeff, which, by the way, I do all the voices of the characters on this show, in case you were wondering. I got to keep reminding people of that. They tell me, and I say, why? Well, so that when people know what the show's about, they want to listen more. Oh, okay. I guess it must be working. See, when you hear those voices of characters, it's me doing them. Anyway, so Jeff Dowder got popped sneaking into his neighbor's yard, got into the back porch there, the service porch, stuck his nose down in the hamper, and was smelling the woman's baby diapers. And when we asked him why, he says he got high off of it. He's just got a pamper up to his face. Yeah. Imagine going into a party and there's a line of people going down the hall and they got their faces in someone's diaper. It's just. I remember the first time I walked into a party and they were doing nitrous oxide. Now that was really silly. There was a line going down the hallway. This is back in the day, okay? This is not during my responsible adulthood. This is during my irresponsible adulthood. Like about 2 years ago. No, this is a long time ago. Anyway, they had two cans, nitrogen and oxygen, and down at the end of the hall, there was some guy turning the hoses, and people were taking knocks on this crap, talking really slow for a few minutes, and then they'd be cool again. But I never in my life seen anybody want to sniff a diaper. Guy comes up out of the trash can with a brown mustache. Anyway, our poor kids, man, they have just really... So this weekend, we're going to have the friends over for our big Super Bowl party, our big Super Bowl extravaganza, and we're going to have a little, whatever you call that, pool. Kids wanted to bet real dollars. They wanted to... In fact, our 14-year-old wanted to book all the bets. He wanted everybody to book their bets through him. I said, how much money you got?
$40.
Well, that ain't going to cover nothing. Well, that's $40. Well, it's not going to cover me. Have you got enough money to cover these bets? I'm going to lay odds. You know, I'm going to give them the point spread. I'm going to do all this stuff. Look, we're going to do a nice football pool. Oh, that's lame. Why? It doesn't take any skill. Right, but in other words, I got a shot at winning. What are you talking about? You're going to book all the bets. Anyway, thank God we got that trampoline in the backyard, because that's where I'm going to be spending most of my time. Out sitting on the trampoline. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We got just a few minutes left, so we can go ahead and get our Super Bowl predictions in. But I don't just want you to tell me who's going to win the game. You got to give me the final score. And if you're right, good for you. 1-800-449-8686. That's right. Give us the final score of the Super Bowl. And if you're right, will you be my new best friend? How about that? Joe Dickhead has already got it posted up on our website. And I can tell you right now, it is a very ballsy prediction. When I go and check the website out, you can do that at philhenryshow.com. But Joe has made a prediction. I don't think anybody has ever made such a prediction before. Final score of the Super Bowl. Who you think's going to win, obviously, and the final score. I don't want just, you know, I think St. Louis, I think New England. I want the final score at 1-800-449-8686, because we all know that it's going to be rude. We all know that it is going to be a foul. It's going to be anything out of Fear Factor, man. It got nothing on it. It'll be like eating a whole passel of pig butt, this football game. You can only hope. When you're talking about a ball game like what we're looking at here on Sunday, you can only hope that it's a blowout that of record-breaking proportions, 60-something, you know? Now, I understand I'm supposed to give the Patriots a shot, but I don't feel like it. All right, let me talk to Rudy. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Rudy?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, man.
I was just going to say my score prediction is going to be 31-10, Rams.
31-10? Yeah, well, you think New England's going to get 10 points?
Yeah, I think they'll get 10 points.
They're actually going to get through the Ram defense enough to get 10 points. They're going to get 10 points on offense or 10 points on turnovers?
It's going to be probably a turnover. Vinatieri will get a field goal. That's about it.
All right. Here is Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got the Pats 35, Rams 28.
Here is CJ. Go ahead, man.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, are you still talking about vampires?
No. Here is Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Phil, remember what happened at Green Bay and Denver in 98, so you never know what can happen.
What do you mean Green Bay and Denver? Denver was favored.
Everybody said Denver was going to lose. And,
I didn't hear that. I heard Denver all the way in that game.
down here, not me.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you know what? Denver had – so do you got a score or you don't? Hello? What an idiot. I want to score. All right, we're all out of time. And here is Craig's prediction, New England 21, Rams 19. All right, Craig, you're fired. Okay. No, what are you talking about Denver and Green Bay? Denver was every bit as much in that game as Green Bay. I never heard that Green Bay was going to walk all over Denver in that ball game. Yes, I know that Elway had been snake bit about a half a dozen times before that, but 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Well, we're predicting a shutout, a Ram shutout. The New England Patriots will be the first football team in the history of the Super Bowl not to score a point. You watch what happens. Phil Henry Show.